I'd like to greet you in Jesus' name. I don't know if it happened to you, that happened to me, but I was just captivated and taken to another place in time. Just thinking about what Levi shared and how that coordinates with the songs we just heard, that I will rise up, and do we have a faith that's worth dying for? And just thinking during the opening, some of the things that Levi said was that it was by Jesus' hand that we rise up again. So if we look at it that way, I'd have to say that whenever Satan takes us down, that just means our victory is delayed, because Jesus will take our hand and we will rise up again. When you look at things in a different light, then all of a sudden it has a different effect on us. The matter of our outcome is often what our focus is, what our mindset is. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said that, let us go into the house of the Lord. When I was considering that verse, I was thinking that probably wasn't written by a two-year-old, because they're not too excited to go to the house of the Lord. Some of our children, we pull up on the churchyard, and they're like, I'm done. We're like, we're not even there yet. But once you get to an older state, we need to be built up in the most holy faith. We come under the Word of God, the place where we as a church gather together in this building that's going to be taken away. Jesus told the disciples when they showed him the splendor of the temple, he said, not one stone will be left upon another. But you know, we are lively stones, as Peter says. And that one day we'll be taken to be with the Lord. We are the house already. But then we're going to be a house that never will be replaced. When I'm talking about this, I'd like to just present our topic for today. And that is time and eternity. What do we do with our time today in order to prepare for eternity? Before we open up something that is only something God knows completely, let's bow our heads before Him. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. And Lord, we want to just praise You and thank You that You're the one that's going to make us rise up. And even in our days today, when Satan makes us stumble, but You're not the rock of offense to us, Lord. You are our stone that we stand on. Your word says that whoever doesn't fall on the stone to be broken, that rock will fall on them and grind them to powder, Lord. We want to willfully lay ourselves down and be broken before You, because You're the one that can put us back together and use us in this life, Lord. We just want to take what happens in this life and glorify Your name. And it's what we do with the hardships we go through is what characterizes who we're following. We ask You to speak to our hearts and minds this morning. We thank You already what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we want to look at, in God's Word, time and eternity. Those are two different things. In our lives, many times as Christians, when people find that we are a Christian, find out that we're a Christian, they like to ask us hard questions in order to stump us. And sometimes we are stumped, but you know that can be a blessing in itself, because that just makes us dig harder. I don't know if that's what it does to you. When I get stumped, I'm like, praise the Lord, because that just gives me more motivation to dig. And so sometimes whenever you are digging in the dirt and you get up to a big stone, that just makes you go get the kofot, right? Makes you get a different tool. And so if someone would come to you and ask you the hard question of what is time, what would your answer be? What is time? What is the reason for time? And then a more personal question, what does time mean to you? And how important is time to you? Two different people can look at time two different ways. To a person that sits alone a lot, a person like that would say that time is long. And sometimes they would wish for less time. Or they would wish that time would pass a little faster. For a person that is really busy, they would say time is short. And they would wish for more time, or that they could stretch time out. Two different people looking at time different ways. If you would talk to somebody, a busy businessman, he would say he wished more for more time. He doesn't have enough of it. I've said before, I wish I could borrow 10% of my time from my retirement and use it now, because that's right now is when I need it. For the next person, the person that is sitting in prison, know he's in prison for 30 years. He's sitting there with too much time on his hands, and he wish he didn't have that time. But you know, today is the day of grace. Today is a time of grace. In history, people figured out it's very, very important that you know how to measure time. Years ago in Egypt, thousands of people died because they were not measuring time properly. When we think about that, I'm talking about our physical time, our calendar. Right now we're under the Gregorian calendar, and even though our Gregorian calendar is very, very accurate, we are still off by 27 seconds every year. So that means every 3,236 years, they have to adjust by one day. So we're very close, but we're still off. In the year 1582, they found out they were off so much that they had to adjust 10 days. So the church collaborated. That was a Catholic church. They collaborated with the government, and they decided that we need to make an adjustment of 10 days. And so they decided they're going to do it in October. That's whenever the harvest is pretty much done. They don't have to adjust for things like that. And also, that's when things are not quite so busy, and also they don't have any holidays during the month of October. So they decided they're going to go from Thursday, October 4th, to Friday, October 15th. So they lost 10 days, or they missed 10 days, where they advanced 10 days. They ran into some interesting problems. Landlords said, well, then I want to charge you rent for those 10 days. Well, the other guy said, well, I didn't live in that house for 10 days more. And so they actually ran into some legal issues in that time because people were arguing about time. Have you ever argued about time? You know, I think many times I've been sitting around a table listening to old people talk, and I've often noticed how they argue about time. It's very important to them, and that is time. But you know, even for the soul, time is important, because whenever time is done, then we have a destiny. There are two destinies that we are going to be faced with at the end of time. And it is during the time of time that whenever we go into timeless time, that you have to make this decision. And my question is, have you made that decision? And whenever we get to the end of time, where are you going to spend eternity? And you have to make that decision during the time of time. Because when time is done, there will be no time to make that decision. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, if we would turn there, Paul is writing to the church. He says, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Look what he says in the next verse. Because of what he just said in verses 14 and 15, he's going to say verse 16. He says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. If you look at the news today, you're going to see that they are very, very focused on the negative things that's going on in our time, in our lives. Now, Jesus always had a different way of looking at it. You can see Paul is reflecting the focus of Christ in what he's saying. He says, talking about redeeming the time. He's like, are you making use of the time you do have right now because the days are evil? What are you doing that is effectively changing the evil world that we live in? What are you doing about it? Are you focused on how evil the days are? Are you letting that get you down? Or are you responding to how evil the days are and living a different life to impact somebody else's lives? There are some people that are out there, they know how to redeem the time. They are making the best use of what they have, even though the days are evil. The main reason why Jesus came in the time that he had on earth was to change our destiny. Many people, they think, well, because things are not changing, time is continuing on, they look at God as being some kind of slack, lazy person. But Peter, he says, I want you to know something. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Many unbelievers will look at us as believers and say, you guys are crazy, believing a guy that's been waiting for thousands of years. And they think that there is no promise. That's why many won't believe. But Peter continues on. He says, as some count slackness, but it's long-suffering. God isn't slack. There's a difference between being slack and being patient. Some people could say, well, God's very slack. He's slothful. He's not taking care of business. Now, if you take that same measurement that they say that he's slack, and you apply that to how patient he is, all of a sudden you look at God's characteristics completely different. Why is God being so very patient? He says it right here in the next sentence. He says, because he is not willing that any should perish. Not even one. God does not even want one person to perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all people to turn around. How does he do it? Because we're supposed to share the gospel with people that are lost, so they will turn around and follow Christ. In the beginning, a timeless God created time. And he also created time to end. That is why we have the book of Revelation. The Lord has outlined the future in the book of Revelation. He has the future planned in time. Now, why is it that we are so afraid of the future? It is because of the hardships that we're supposedly going to face. Now, what if we take that same concept that we're supposed to be afraid of what we're going to face and look into Hebrews 11? You look at all the heroes of faith. You look at some of the things that he names up. How many people that died there? In some places, they were not. It says that the life was not worthy of them to live. Some of people were sawed asunder. There were so many things he could name there. But why did they do what they did? It's because they were continually to trust in a God they could not see in the time that they lived here on earth. The heroes of faith remind us that there is eternity to live for here on earth during the time we live here in time. When you look into the Bible further, the Bible, or God says in his word, many, many things concerning himself and time. We'll look at a few. One of them is right there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. You don't need to turn there. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we think about that, we know that Jesus doesn't change, and he's not affected by time. Many of us, we are bound by time, and we also can be changed by time. We often hear that times have changed, things have changed, cultures have changed, we're different now. But we look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, if you turn with me to that verse, it's where John is writing to the seven churches. He's writing to the churches in Asia, and this is what he says, "Grace to you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come." That is someone that's timeless. He's naming up three times, the past, present, and the future. And he is giving him a greeting of grace and peace from him that is timeless. You know what that means to us? That means grace and peace is timeless because God is timeless and he's the giver of those things. So once you start looking at it that way, all of a sudden we see that the gift that is given is equal to the giver that gives it. So grace and peace are timeless. Except for one thing. To those that don't believe. To those that believe, the gift of grace and peace is timeless. You will live in grace and peace for eternity. For the person that does not believe, that person, that grace and peace is one day going to end. The difference is one thing, and that is faith. Faith is time, is limited by time. You know why? Because when Jesus comes again, we will no longer need faith because we will see him as he is. What is timeless is grace and peace. So which one do we need? Right now we need faith in order to get grace and peace, but when Jesus comes again, faith will no longer be needed to have grace and peace because Jesus will be there. But it is during the time that we're limited by time that if we want grace and peace, we have to have faith to get it. And once you get it, and you continue to believe, that grace and peace continues into eternity. It is amazing to think of how God has put his word together. It just blows me away to think of something like this, how faith will be undone one day when he comes, but grace and peace will continue with the character of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Peter, in 2 Peter 3:8, he also says this. He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. You know, that's one thing many people that don't believe, they're ignorant of. And that is, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Some people, they will use this verse and say, well, this is a measurement tool. This is our ruler we use in order to interpret Revelation. That has nothing to do with Revelation. This has to do with the measurement of who God is, characteristic of God. God doesn't care if it's 1,000 years. He doesn't care if it's a day. He's not limited by time. He is timeless. And so if we're talking about a day or 1,000 years, it doesn't make a difference to God, because he doesn't go by days, months, and years. He goes by ages. By ages, the maturity of how we respond to his word and prophecies and how that falls out. And Paul wants us to not be ignorant that God is not limited by time. God is timeless. He's not affected by time. And that is why we call him Everlasting Father. He's not time. He's not bound by time. We know that God is timeless for another reason, and that is because God changes time. When we look into the Old Testament, we'll lift up two stories. One of them is Joshua. He was fighting 5 kings, and he needed more time in order to conquer them, and so he prayed to God that God would make the sun stand still. And God listened to him. He allowed the sun to stand still until he had conquered his enemies, and then time continued to resume. That's our God of time. Another place we see that God actually changed time, and that is with Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick in bed, and Isaiah came and told him that he was going to be dying, that he was supposed to set his house in order. And after Isaiah leaves, Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and cries a bitter prayer. As Isaiah was leaving, God turned Isaiah around, said, I want you to go send a message to Hezekiah. I have heard your prayer, and your prayer has been answered, and you will live longer. And Hezekiah had a hard time believing this, even though he prayed it. You know, sometimes we don't believe in our own prayers. You ever pray prayers that you don't believe in yourself? So Hezekiah was asking for a sign. And what was that sign? The sign was whether or not that the sundial is supposed to go forward 10 degrees or backward 10 degrees. Hezekiah says, well, it's fairly simple to make the sundial to go forward, because that's the same, the momentum of it. But for it to go backward 10 degrees, that would be interesting. And so that is what happened. God sent everything reverse. We might, at that point, they probably didn't understand what that all included. You know, the whole universe, it wasn't just, they just thought that the sun kind of comes up and goes around the earth, you know. But all of a sudden realize now today, we know there's a lot more involved in that. You know, the whole universe, all of the planets, everything had to be set in a reverse so that everything would realign and then be set forward, simply because of one man's prayer. I hope you're praying people. The Lord has promised us so much in our life, a life of blessing, not just in this life, how much more in the next life. But in between that, we know that our time is very short. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 30, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. And this is based on how we respond to God. The demons and Satan, they know they are very much limited by time. In Matthew 8, verse 29, one of the demons says this, they cried out and they said, or this is a multitude of them, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? They recognized him. He says, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They know that there is a destination for them, and they know that that destination is coming with time, the end of time. And so, as us believers, we look forward to Jesus' second coming. Equally so, the demons, they dread Jesus' second coming because they know their time is done. Satan knows, too, that he is limited by time. Revelation 12, verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath. Why does he have great wrath? It says, because he knows that he has but a short time. He's limited with time. You know, one day the devil's work is going to be done. And you know what? He dreads it. He loves that he has work to do. I think he takes his work in ruining our soul more serious than many of us take in the saving of our soul. Do you believe that? I truly believe that Satan is more passionate about our soul than we are about our own soul. That's because he can see what the destiny is and the effects that it's going to have. Paul one day was preaching. He was preaching to Felix in Acts 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned in righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, Felix trembled. He trembled. And his answer was, when he trembled, "Go your way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." When you share Christ with others, how often do people have a convenient season? "Well, I'm glad you're here because it's convenient for you to be preaching the gospel to me. That just worked out very well." I would say it's usually the opposite. Whenever you share the gospel with somebody, they always have some reason why it's not convenient for them right then. And for Felix, he's in the height of his political prosperity. He's sitting there on the highest chair in the court there with his friends sitting next to him. And I don't think that he didn't believe Paul's message. I believe he believed in Paul's message. The only thing is, he had some effects to what he would make a decision on that day. King Agrippa was sitting there, so many people looking up to him, and it just wasn't quite convenient right then to make a decision. So how many of us in this room today are not making decisions because it's not convenient right now? So my question is, when is it going to be convenient? We never hear the story of Felix ever again. We never hear that all of a sudden Felix decides, "Oh, Paul, I got an appointment for you on Thursday at 2 o'clock. I want you to come preach the gospel and I want to accept Christ." Never happened. You know what? Felix never had a convenient time. And now he has eternity to regret it. How often do you think Felix has thought back to that day when Paul was presenting him the life-changing gospel? And he didn't take the time to make the proper decision. You know, God is timeless. He has created time, but he allows himself to work inside the bounds of time for man's sake. He just does it in a different way. And God works in a period of ages. When we look in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says here, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law." Jesus was willing to come under the law. Why? Because he knew he could fulfill the law. And it came at the right time. After all the prophecies have been made, he can come and fulfill those prophecies. He believed the hearts of the people were ready. 400 silent years will make people ready. You know, if we wouldn't go to church for a long time, all of a sudden we'd be ready to go to church. When we think about this verse, we see God is not concerned about days, hours, and minutes. He's more concerned about how people are lining up with his word and his will. When Jesus was preaching to the Pharisees, he had some very harsh words to them concerning time. He said, "Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time?" So what was the time that Jesus was talking about? They were looking for the promised Messiah, and they could not discern that the day of grace was right there. Jesus was standing in front of them. The time they had been looking for thousands of years, they were living in the moment, and they missed the time. The Pharisees didn't know that they were living in the accepted time, but time didn't stop for them. Brothers and sisters, and time won't stop for us either. When Jesus comes again, you can't tell Jesus, "Lord, give me 5 more minutes. Lord, let me just say the sinner's prayer." We're not going to have that much time. When Jesus comes in the clouds, time shall stand still. Satan's work will be done. The day of grace is over. When Jesus came the first time, that was the day of grace. That was when he started the day of grace on a roll. But when Jesus comes again, that is going to be a day of judgment for those that are not ready. As I said before, for those that are living in faith, they're going to continue in grace and peace. But for those that haven't made that decision, that time will be over. If you have ever experienced a loved one dying, then you've experienced of how final that is. Imagine how much more final it's going to be when Jesus comes his last time. How final it will be for millions of people at that moment, realizing that it's too late. For other people, they'll realize that their time on earth is final. The day of grace is done. For the others that believe, they'll see Jesus is here. My time of earth suffering is final, complete. The reward is now come. For those that are suffering, they're looking forward to time being coming to an end. But for those that are enjoying life on earth, as the Bible says in many places, eating and drinking and just being married and giving in marriage, just enjoying life, they don't want this to end because they know what they have to look forward to. Jesus, he said, in Matthew 13, verse 30, let both grow together into harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. My question is, are you the wheat or are you the tares? The difference is in your faith. As children of God, God has given us everything we need in order to be steadfast. He says, Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 19. He says, laying up in store, just like you store wheat in a barn, he says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Are you laying up in store for yourself a good foundation? It says that at the end of the verse, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Have you already laid hold on eternal life? So what is it that we need? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, there is no foundation that can be laid that which is laid, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he is our foundation. And you have to trust in that foundation, that it's the only foundation. That is the rock that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 7. Either you're building your house on the rock of Christ, or you're not. The only thing that's going to reveal whether or not we're on that rock is the storms that come. We're all going to get storms. But how are you going to respond to the storms that come? 1 Peter 1, verse 5 says this, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. It's ready. Revelation is there. It's ready to be revealed, it says, in the last time. But in the meantime, we are kept by the power of faith, or by faith in the power of God. Jesus Christ is our rock. We don't need to go to seminary in order to understand simple things of faith. We don't need a college degree. God will reveal himself to us in simple ways. Years ago, a college professor was struggling with understanding some things about Revelation. He's invited to his niece's wedding. He goes, and at this wedding, an older lay pastor in his 70s, he used the very text that this seminary professor could not understand as the text for a wedding message. And as he preached this message, he laid it out so plain and clear, every 5-year-old sitting in the benches could understand it. Much to the dismay of the seminary professor who sat there so embarrassed that these young 5-year-olds on the benches, they knew this verse, they understood the verse because somebody that had it revealed to them preached it to them in a simple manner. After the service, this seminary professor could only think one thing. I want to know how he figured it out. After the service, he corners this old man, and he asks him the question, "How in the world could you figure out those verses?" This old man looked at him and smiled. He says, "Very, very simply, 12 hours in the cornfield on my knees." That's how you figure things out. You go before God and let him show it to you. How much of an education does it take for you to get on your knees to ask God for an understanding heart? It takes very little understanding to get on your knees. God will reveal things to you once he sees you want it bad enough. If you don't value revelation and understanding, he will not give it to you. It's the same concept of casting pearl before the swine. If you're not going to value God's word enough, he's not going to give you an understanding heart. But if you have a burning desire to understand God's word and know who he is, then God's going to open up his truth to you because he knows you hold it like a gem. The difference between people that understand things about God's word and people that don't understand God's word is how much they desire God and knowing God and understanding his word. So my question is, are you allowing the world to entice you to things that are going to end with time? Or are you going to be enticed by an everlasting God with truths that are everlasting? How bad do you want it? Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, or in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from their wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." I think it's interesting, if you've ever watched a little baby as they feed, you see a mama, she gives that baby a bottle. They get the bottle out and the baby sees it across the room, and they pour water into the bottle and the baby starts kicking. They already know what's coming. They put the powder into the bottle, they close the bottle, and then they shake the bottle, and the baby kicks even more. Finally, the mama takes the baby in her arms. You know what the mamas do? They only have two hands. They put the ball in her mouth, or they're wrapping everything up, and the baby, they can see only one thing. That is mama's face in the bottle. That's what they're anticipating. The mama takes the bottle out of her mouth and puts it in the baby's mouth, and the baby does one thing, grabs the bottle, and looks at mama. The baby only knows a couple of things. I see mama's face, and I know my belly's getting filled. So then look at the baby's mama's face. They realize they see only one thing, and they're linking things together. My satisfaction comes from looking at my mom's face. They don't really realize so much that the bottle is filling their stomach. They're looking at mama's face, and they think that's what's filling their stomach. How many times do you think that if I just look at God, I'll be satisfied? And you know what? From him, all things consist. He is the one that gives us everything. I wish today that all of us could be satisfied simply by looking at God's face and knowing that he's the one that's going to give us everything we need to be satisfied in this life of time. I wish all of us but look at God as a baby looks at his mama's face. You know, our greatest blessing is getting closer at every moment. My question is, how long are you willing to wait? Are you going to give up before the time ends? Or do you long to see God's face so much, you're like, I'm not going to give up. I will not give up. I will not give up the faith. It's a decision. And once you actually get to see your face, you're going to get your inheritance. And I think maybe our greatest inheritance is to see God's face. But how much time do you spend actually thinking about eternity? Or have you allowed Satan to get you so wound up looking at the hardships of this life that you're not taking time to redeem the time, making the best of what you have today? In Daniel 7, verse 22, Daniel says this, "Until the Ancient of Days." When we think about Ancients of Days, it's another way of saying an everlasting Father, someone that's not limited by time. "Until the Ancient of Days came, And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, are you working to make your millions? That's going to be like moth and rust. It's just going to fade away. Or are you working on something that when heaven and earth pass away, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and that you know that you're going to inherit the new heaven and a new earth, and you're so satisfied with the earth that's coming that you don't need to work for the one that exists today. Because you know that the one that's coming is everlasting, and the one that is right now is limited by time. Which one are you working for? That is so much that's just bound by how you focus on God. Are you focused on God today? Have you believed in Jesus Christ with everything you are and everything you have? The life that you lived here will be multiplied in eternity, whether good or bad. Whether life was good or bad, what is your focus? Is it based on faith, which you don't see? A faith that you one day won't need when Jesus comes. But at this moment, faith is the very link that we need to grace and peace. Once Jesus comes again, a life of faith and obedience or a life of unbelief and selfishness is going to be a result of how our blessings and curses will be multiplied in eternity. And only time will tell. And it's going to be a God who created time, who will make an end of time so he could be with us for eternity. And that is why he made us, so he would have fellowship with us as the body of Christ. May God bless you. Let's all bow our knees for prayer.